And welcome to this special episode of Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and David Holly. This is our end of the transfer window special, as we are recording this live during the final hour of the summer transfer window, but we'll also be going an additional 30 minutes after it is closed. We'll be discussing any late-breaking news, if we have any, along with sharing our thoughts on all the signings this season for Fulham so far. We'll also have another discussion regarding the transfer policy for Fulham. We have much to get through in this 90-minute episode, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Looking forward to the show. And just as we've come on air, I wonder if you've noticed a loan signing we've announced. Have you seen that? Lucas Pizon
from
Chelsea. Yeah.
Okay.
There's
going to
be a lot of
mentions
of that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will actually read this up. Breaking. This is on the Fulham Twitter account, Fulham Football Twitter account. It says Lucas Piazon joins Fulham on loan from the other club in Fulham until January. I'll just read the article and then get your thoughts on here. This is kind of flown underneath the radar. Here is the article from the Fulham website. Thank you, Mike. This is breaking news. Fulham Football Club is pleased to announce the signing of Lucas Piazon on loan from the other club in Fulham until January 2017. The Brazilian attacker joined our SW6 neighbors in the summer of 2011, and in his first season won the FA Youth Cup and was named the club's Young Player of the Year. His first senior appearances coincided with the high-scoring games in 2012-2013, as he featured in a 6-0, 5-4, and 8-0 victories over Wolverhampton Wanderers, Manchester United, and Aston Villa, respectively. Piazon then spent the second half of the season on loan in La Liga with Malaga when he sampled UEFA Champions League football for the first time. The following campaign was spent on loan with Vitesse Arnhem, for whom he scored 11 times as they finished sixth in the Dutch League when he helped Eintracht Frankfurt to ninth in the Bundesliga in 2014-2015. Piazon's first taste of championship football arrived last season. He featured 27 times for Reading, scoring 5 goals, one of which came in a 4-2 defeat at Craven Cottage. The 22-year-old is a Brazilian youth international that's been capped up to under-23 level. Okay, Mike, I'm going to go to you first. Thoughts on this loan deal for Fulham?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was at Reading last year. You know, Brazilian. Is he the first Brazilian to play for us, possibly? He's a striker, come attacking midfielder again, so is he one or the other? But, useful addition to the squad. I think a few fans will be a bit upset about him coming from you-know-where and being a young player. You know, we like to see our own players do well, but, we needed bodies, we needed other options, and we've seen how we're going to play. We're going to play with this one up top and lots of attacking midfielders buzzing around, and he fits that kind of bill. And, looking forward to seeing him play. I can see there's some questions being thrown at Reading fans, how did he do last year? So I'm sure they'll come back with some better views. But, yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I'm actually happy with it too, Mike. He's a player that actually, like I said, a few years ago did very well in the Dutch league, and he's still a very young player. So I think it's worth a gamble here. It's only a 6-month loan. David, I know you don't like where this player comes from, but what are your thoughts about this?
I think I'm going to claim a Goldman there because I'm not even on the show yet. You haven't introduced me yet, and I'm just straight in there. I'm just
sorry, Dave.
Coughing in the background while Mike mentions the other team in Fulham there. But, hi, welcome to the show, and hi, Mike, and hi, Russ. I'll introduce myself, shall I? I'm David Holly, anyway. I've been a Fulham fan for 44 years now. This is great. I don't think the fact that he comes from the other club in Fulham makes any difference at all. I mean, Callas comes from the other club in Fulham, and I haven't seen anything negative towards him. He's made a good start to his Fulham loan period, and I'm sure, this is a great move, really, because, someone obviously who comes from Brazil and lives in, I imagine, somewhere in southwest London or that region, it would be very unsettling to have to move, but for him, he hasn't obviously got to move home. He hasn't got to change anything else apart from where he goes for his training and matches. So it gives him the best chance, I think, of settling in. And he does seem to certainly, as Mike said, fit the style of play that we're looking to achieve this year. I mean, his Wikipedia entry says that he is primarily a forward, although he has also been deployed as a left winger or an attacking midfielder or in the hole behind the striker. We have so many positions these days, don't we? You know, you can literally be a couple of yards out on the pitch, the difference between being an attacking midfielder and in the hole behind the striker. But, yeah, he kind of fits along with these, you know, other recent signings we've had. You know, he's 22 years old, 6 foot tall. You'd imagine being from Brazil that, you know, he's brought up with skills and everything. So looking forward to seeing what he brings to the party and seeing him in the team.
Okay, very good. And Mike, going back to you, a theme with Fulham players that have come in this season has been versatility. I've read, and of course you have read, and David just mentioned, he can play as a winger, he can play as a striker, he can play in several positions. So it sounds like what we're hearing is that he's our typical player that Jokanović wants, Mike.
Well, I mean, it's another option. I see that he's 6 foot. You know, I mean, that's what we need, and that's what he likes. You know, he likes versatility. He likes to change formations. We've said that, and he likes his players to move around in various locations on the pitch. So fits the bill, and I'm sure we'll talk about stats later. But you know, for me, it's just another option. You know, we've got lots of these exciting players, and having spoken to someone at the club the other day, it's all been about pace. That's one of the things that they were looking to do. And when we go through all the players, we'll be talking about, you know, what they bring to the squad. But one of the overriding things they were looking for, you know, were players with pace and movement. And hopefully this guy's got that as well.
Okay, very good. And I just want to share some information from one of my co-hosts at WEI.com, the SarkaCast. He actually is a supporter of the other club in Fulham, David, and he actually texted me some information on Lucas Piazon, you know, just his thoughts on this is what he says. Again, this is Alex Goldberg from the SarkaCast. He let me know this just now. There was a potential, but not sure why he hasn't produced on his previous loans. A few years ago, I had high hopes for him. Definitely has some flash and can get cheeky. Can operate as both. But, you know, I asked him as a winger or a striker. He said he can operate as both, but I don't think he's physical enough for a striker. I prefer him as a left wing. So those are thoughts from Alex Goldberg on the newest loan signing for Fulham. All right, guys, let's move on. Let's talk about some speculation we saw in the morning, Mike. And I woke up this morning, and this is the first thing I saw. There was a good amount of speculation linking Fulham to free agent striker Emmanuel Adebayor. Now, nothing's come of it yet. What are your thoughts about the speculation that you saw this morning regarding Adebayor?
Yeah, my initial reaction was it was a bit of a wind-up by Lyle, because this was the first tweet, it's Lyle Thomas, and you know, because he likes to have a bit of fun with the Fulham fans. Yeah, I mean, there was a real mixed reaction. Do we want him? Don't we want him? Yes, he's still got something to offer. No, he isn't. He's a mercenary. In the end, he's free. And really, that ramped up the sort of angst online from Fulham fans. You know, why aren't we spending any money? Why are we getting this player? On reflection, you know, if he had signed, or he does sign, you know, you're going to get 10, maybe a dozen good games out of him, and then he seems to disappear. But I'm sure if he does, it will be a very short-term deal, you know, maybe to January, see how he does. But I don't think he's the right player for us, or that kind of, you know, that kind of person with that kind of ego. We've got a team at the moment, what looks like a team. They're getting on well, and I don't really want what we call a Billy Big Boots coming in, you know, someone like Berbatov. It's all got to be me, me, me. And that's what I feel we'd get with Adebayor. So happy to say that he's probably drifted off looking for another club. It did sound to me as if it was his agent suddenly waving around on transfer deadline day, by the way, Adebayor's available, and we were the first club he came to. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with him. But initially not impressed, but, you know, it just depends. We need strikers. Hopefully we're going to get the other player we're linked with tonight, so we don't have to look at Adebayor. But it does raise an interesting one. There's a lot of free agents out there, you know. And tonight, you know, the window shuts, there'll be no loans. And so players without a club are still going to be able to be signed. So there's no rush for these types of players who haven't got a club. So for me, there's no urgency to sign him today. Over the next few days, maybe. That's something else. So... But hopefully we'll move on from him, you know, because I just think they're the baggage he brings.
I hear you, Mike. And when I first saw it, I wasn't thrilled about just the link to Fulham. And then I had seen that today, you know, a little later on in the day, that things have broken off. But who knows if things will heat up again. But as of right now, nothing's happened with Adebayor. David, what are your thoughts about the speculation that broke this morning? You said you've been out of the loop a little bit, so I want to get your thoughts on Adebayor being linked to Fulham this morning.
Well, I was at Motspur Park this morning, and I didn't see him. He wasn't on my train. When we got off at Motspur Park, he wasn't walking to the thingy. And to be honest with you, I discounted it when I saw it anyway. For me, not at all a Fulham player, not the sort of player we want. I would be equally repugnant towards him as I would have been towards, Guyan or whatever. I was very against him coming to Fulham because I think he's a football mercenary. He's, you know, in it for the money. He's been playing in a non-competitive league for many years and is after money, not football. And I don't think Adebayor, I mean, he obviously had a spell when he was a very successful player and a very successful striker. But that's quite a while ago now. And I think he's probably getting over the hill. And as Mike said, you know, we're getting to the situation again where we're trying to get away from people who have divided the dressing room and the fan base, the McCormacks, even the Ruiz, obviously people like Berbatov as well, obvious talents. But, you know, perhaps the team is less of a team with people like that in the side. And I think that would have been the case if we have someone here who's a very big name. So I'm very pleased to say that hopefully it's all a load of rubbish, to be honest with you, and I'm quite happy for that.
I'm there with you, David. I didn't like the link this morning. I just didn't think that this was the right fit. Mike has explained my reasons why, as well. I back what Mike said and what you've said. I didn't want Adebayor. I was hoping that it was a wind-up, but I think there was something to it. But let's just hope that there's nothing more to it than what we saw this morning, and Fulham can move on. All right, guys, we now have to go to the latest speculation, and this seems like it's heating up. I saw this about an hour ago, so, Mike, I'm going to go to you. This is tweeted out by Laurie Whitwell, a Midlands football correspondent for the Daily Mail. Here's her tweet. Told Derby County, Chris Martin to Fulham is a $2.5 million loan fee, and an option to buy in January. That's what she tweeted out. I also was messaged from a source that has told me since then that this source has heard that the option to buy is £6 million. So again, that's what I've heard personally from a different source, that potentially the option to buy is £6 million. Mike, over to you. What are your thoughts on this speculation? This is something to follow as the window is about to close shortly. What are your thoughts about this speculation with Chris Martin?
Well, it's been around for probably about a month now with Martin, and if you believe everything you read, Jokanović is very keen on him. He's one of his main targets, and you know, you'd hope we could have got him before today, and you know, we still haven't got him officially yet. But I think that's a lot to do with Derby as well, because they've not done much in the transfer window so far. So, you know, and the deal, you know, he's up in Scotland at the moment. This is the reason why I think possibly it's a loan deal, is that he's up in Scotland, and I think he's had a medical possibly up there. But there's two types of paperwork. There's the full transfer paperwork and the loan transfer paperwork. And it might be just a case of it's easier to do the loan deal with an option to buy, you know, because they're not at Motspur Park and that type of thing. I'm just speculating here.
Sure.
But it could also be that the clubs are hedging their bets. You know, I mean, do we want to commit £8 million straight away? Do Derby really want to sell him, or is it just a case of making space in their squad, saving some money while getting a loan fee? And so, you know, there's lots of different ways. But for me, it's a good deal. If you believe what's been said, it's a loan deal for the whole season. So $2.5 million is a fair fee. You're usually looking at $1 million to $2 million for loan fees. And then, you know, if there's an option for us to buy in January for $6 million plus the 2.5 loan fee, you know, you're at the figure that strikers are going for at the moment. You know, and his record is a decent one. It hasn't been that great over the last 6 months, but so, you know, you look at some of the goals. There's a great video going online with all his goals and assists and stuff.
I've seen it.
Yeah, and it shows what he could offer, and he has a much more all-round game than, you know, Matt Smith. And you know, with all the, I'm going to keep using the word buzzing around, but with all these midfielders, attacking midfielders, and the pace we have, you know, he could be that link-up player we need. So for me, it's a good deal, you know. And you know, we're committed to buying him possibly in January. And if we, you know, if neither party are that happy, then what have you lost? £2.5 million, which in the big scheme of things isn't a lot. So yeah, if this is a deal, I'm perfectly fine with it. There will be fans out there, as we know, who will say, "Oh, it's a club not spending all the money they should be spending." For me, it's fine. You know, it's get promoted, do everything you can to do that, and then you look at your squad when you get into the Premier League. You don't have to worry about signing players, you know, for the next 4 years, really, if you don't think they're going to make it in the Premier League. So, yeah. It's win-win for me, this one.
That's the way I look at it, Mike. I think this is good for both sides, like you said, hedging their bets, and I understand that. I think this could work out for both Derby County and Fulham. And I had heard, too, from my source that this was for a one-year loan. It wasn't for a six-month loan. But it is being reported that in January there is the option to buy. And like I said, I'm hearing from my source that it's £6 million. David? Before I share some information that I have on Chris Martin, just some information from WhoScored.com. Just overall, what are your thoughts about this speculation with him?
Well, I think you've covered the main points. Really, is obviously what can be better than getting someone, trying them out, seeing if you like them. If you like them, paying the money. If you don't like them, sending them back. Yeah, it's cost you a bit of money, but as Mike said, in the scheme of things, $2.5 million isn't a lot. Obviously, I don't know him in depth as a player. I know he's been pretty successful for them, for Derby. He's been one of their main players. So kind of surprised, really, that they're prepared to let him go. But, you know, when he's played against us, I remember especially Mike will vouch for me, I'm sure, on that one. When we were crushed 5-1 up there at the start of, last season, wasn't it? Or was it the season before? It's all rolled into one now, but under the Felix Magath era with Sean Kavanagh at left back, we were crushed. And I remember that day Martin was pretty dominant, you know. He seemed pretty strong, everything, pretty committed to the cause. And they just seemed to... The thing I noticed about Derby, and I know this is obviously we're talking about Derby here, but, when, you know, as opposed to the player, but they seemed to be very interchangeable in the way they played Derby on that day. And if it wasn't Chris Martin popping up there, it was one of the other guys, Hendrick, who's signed for Burnley, I think it is now, and of course other people, Johnny Russell, and you know all the players that have been over the last few years, good for them. So he seemed to be able to play. You know, whether he's a player with pace or not, I don't know. I don't associate him with being a lot of pace, but I think he's quite a strong player. And I think Mike alluded to, you know, he's got kind of most of the attributes that we like about Matt Smith, but he's got more to offer than that as well. He seems to be more mobile. And say more interchangeable, really. So, and that is kind of the system that we've already been talking about with the players we've been buying, the versatile players who sort of switch positions during the match almost, as well as being able to play in several positions. So, you know, it's, you know, what can really go wrong with the situation? You know, you get him, you like him, you keep him. You don't like him, you send him back. Simple as.
Right. And David, what's interesting about this, because when I started hearing the speculation really heat up, I contacted our friend Andy Buckley-Taylor, who's been on the show many times. He's a Darby County blogger. And I said, why would Darby County want to get rid of this player that has scored so many goals for them? I didn't understand it. So there's just something wrong with him. And Andy told me that it really comes down to Pearson wanting to play a 4-4-2 instead of Martin fitting in very well in a 4-3-3 system last season and the season prior to that. It sounds like to me, based on what Andy has told me, it's more of a system situation and a managerial change, David, than a player, I guess you could say, out of form. Does that make sense?
No, certainly. And I have seen these tweets as well, though I haven't been on a lot lately. People saying, and we've seen this about other players in the past, you know, this player can't play in a 4-4-2. This player can't play in that system, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's right. I mean, and it's pretty clear this season from what we've seen that although it's, you know, at times it's close to a 4-4-2, it's not really a 4-4-2. It's, you know, because we have players who are buzzing around all over the place and you know, it's sort of dropping off, playing in the hole, coming in from the side. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. And, yeah, it'd be interesting, obviously, Derby, you know, have had a very disappointing time the last couple of seasons. Look like they're going to escape in back to the Premier League. And then, for whatever reason, not, you know, it's not worked. Another change of manager. Can he change it around? So perhaps he's just decided it's time to change things. And so, you know, I guess they have to improve on where they were in Derby, from Derby's respect, because they haven't managed to get, you know, the promotion they've been seeking. So try a new system. That means, obviously, you know, just like Fulham, we want to play a different system. We want to play this one up top with, you know, the players buzzing around. In that case, we had to get rid of McCormack. McCormack
right.
didn't really suit that role. Forgetting the fact that he may have been a disruptive influence, forgetting the fact of anything, seeing the fact he's 30 years old and he was overweight and unfit, potentially, and forgetting the fact someone's mad enough to pay £12 million for him, which is twice probably what we paid for him ultimately, but he didn't fit that system. So it's just, it's kind of like, you know, pass the parcel, really. You know, the same thing has happened with Fulham as happening at Derby. And it's time to move, you know, the pieces of the jigsaw around and shuffle the pack, move the players to the clubs where the system suits them better, and it makes perfect sense.
Very good point there, David. You know, this might be the perfect situation for him, and that's kind of what Andy was trying to tell me by message. We're messaging back and forth because I really had questions about why would Derby County get rid of a goal scorer, someone that's been a little bit of a prolific goal scorer with them. And I think it has to do with a great deal of what you're saying, change of manager, change of formation, and that he could possibly fit very well into how Slavisa wants to play. And Mike, I want to go back to you. Before I do, I just want to share some information from whoscored.com and get your thoughts on it about Chris Martin. Again, this has not gone through yet, but I just want to say, because I want to share this, because I think this kind of tells us a little bit about what we could be getting. Because, again, let's start with the amount of goals that Chris Martin has scored for Derby County over the last 3 years. 3 years ago, 22 goals. 2 years ago, 18. Last year, 15. So it has gone down. But, again, there's still a decent amount of goals all three seasons. And here's some information on the characteristics of Chris Martin according to WhoScored.com. They have his strengths, very strong at passing, strong at finishing, holding on to the ball, and key passes. Chris Martin's style of play likes to do layoffs, gets fouled often, and does not dive into tackles. Again, just some little information on Chris Martin. So again, Mike, the reason why I wanted to go back to you about talking about Martin, we've been talking about that Fulham needed a goal scorer, a prolific goal scorer. Well, based on what I'm learning about him and his past, not only is a prolific goal scorer, but he might be the type of player Fulham need as that one striker up front. So I want to get your thoughts about some of the information I shared.
Yeah, well, as we've been saying, he does fit the bill, and yeah, I mean, his goal numbers have dropped, but he's also played less games, only a few less games, so his ratio is pretty consistent. But you know, I mean, he's got a better sort of pre-season scoring record than than Ross did before he joined us. Ross was very much a high number, then a low season, a high number, low season. And, you know, he is consistent. So he's, you know, he's a prime, as we keep saying, he's a prime player. And let's hope we can confirm it in the next, what have we got, 35 minutes. And, you know, age-wise, he's 28 in November, so perfect age. And, you know, when you're looking for, we talk about championship players, that's what you need to get out. Well, I mean, he is a championship player, but he's a consistent goal scorer as well.
Correct.
You know, for me, yeah, Rhodes would have always been my first choice, but, you know, maybe Rhodes is not that, you know, he's not the strong player to hold up and link play. And when you've seen how we've played over the first, you know, seven games, that's our style. And really everything that I know about Martin and what I've seen and David said about the way they absolutely slaughtered us the first season we came down. And, you know, he was instrumental in that game. And it's, yeah, let's just hope we can get him. That's all I want. I mean, it will calm the fans down and it will give us something to look forward to you know, with the Birmingham game coming up. And, you know, he is... With only one striker, striker up top, that's all we need. Is if we get Martin, you got the Chelsea lad who's joined, and you got Smith and Woodrow, you got Aluku, you got Kearney who can play in the number 10 role. You know, there's so we don't need much more than that really. So yeah, let's just hope we can get him. And Sarah tweets something out in the next half hour.
Let's hope so, Mike. Let's hope so. Seriously, right? You know, we all hope that this goes through. You know, again, at the very end of the show, I definitely want to get your overall view, your overall rating for all the signings. And because at the very end, I want to ask both of you, and until we know this to be true, it's not fair about Chris Martin, because at this point during the show, we're only about a half hour and we have a little over a half hour left in the window. You know, does this player, does a striker of his capability make us a potential top 16? I want to wait to the end of the show because I want to see if this happens, and then I'll ask you that question. But, guys, let's now go through all the signings. Let's now look at this as a whole while we wait for the end of the window. And like I said, if there's breaking news, just jump right in like you did, Mike. I want you to do that. So, David, I'm going to start with you. Let's talk about a player that I think you're pretty fond of, Michael Maddle. He was on loan with us last season, but then we signed him. He was the official first signing. So just share with me your overall thoughts on Michael Maddle becoming our first signing of the season.
Well, I mean, you know, it's easy to discount him, really, because you think, well, actually, he's not really a signing because we had him last year. And in that respect, that's true because, you know, we saw him last year and he was obviously a regular when he came to us. But, of course, he is our player now. But I think we probably all knew in our heart of hearts that it was a done deal, even though officially it wasn't a done deal, of course, last year. Nevertheless, you know, and this is where, you know, Mike and I have a bit of banter about it sometimes. You know, I won't commit to a player until I've seen him. I won't say, yes, he's good, no, he's bad, it's a good signing or not. But I have to say, if you remember, I had my reservations about his height. You know, in a difficult league where we play against some big sides sometimes, some big, powerful sides, would a man of his stature... He's only, I think, you know, just 6 foot, if he's that. You know, how would he cope as a centre-half, as a central defender in this league? But so far, you know, he's acquitted himself really well. We know that. And he's playing at the moment alongside someone who's, again, not the biggest centre-half, centre-back. You know, I think Callis is only 6'1", perhaps, if that. And so we actually done pretty well. So, you know, it's not always about how tall you are. Of course, look at Dan Byrne. Dan Byrne was exceptionally tall, but he was nowhere near the dominating centre-half we wanted. So the height doesn't really necessarily prove anything. So for me, I was very cautious about him coming because of his stature, because of the fact that he was playing in a fairly, you know, a fairly lowly league in Austria. I'd say it's obviously their better league, but compared to England, I don't think it's really much of a match. But full marks for him. So far, so good. Been a great acquisition. I think we're all very fond of him and what he's brought to the team so far.
Okay, very good, David. Mike, before I go to you, I want to give a shout-out to all the Cottage Talk co-hosts that have been messaging back and forth on our group message on Twitter. So many have been. So just a shout-out to Brendan Cronin, Curtis James Dowden, Emilio, Giannis. Everyone's been messaging back and forth while we're doing this show. So just a shout-out to you guys. And thank you for keeping up the messages as we're doing the show. Okay, Mike, over to you. David actually brought up some very good points about Michael Mantle. He's actually pretty good in the air for someone that's not that tall, but we had him out on loan. Now he's a permanent signing. This was our first signing, so let's go back here. Your thoughts on Michael Mantle?
Well, I will disagree with Dave. He is a signing. I know we did see him, but until he actually signed permanently, he is a new signing. Yes, we had a chance to test run him last year, and we liked what we saw, and you know, it was a good way to start the summer with him confirming, you know, he was joining permanently. And the interesting thing is, of course, that he has he's ended up playing on the left hand side of the defence, on the centre back side. You know, whereas we saw him at right back for a game, and then, you know, bits and pieces, and the right side of the centre back. So you know, he's had to be accommodated. To let Callis play, but so it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, we'll talk about Ferguson later in the show, but you know, where will Maddell play now? So it's a dilemma for Jokanović, but a good one to have. But I'm glad he signed. He's nice and calm. He's better on the ball than probably people think he is. And, you know, he's adaptable as well. He's quite an intelligent player. So you ask him to play in midfield, even centre midfield, he could probably do a job. But, very happy with him. And, you know, I don't think he cost us that much. So a bargain, really.
I agree, Mike. You know, it is a bargain because I think he's worked out very well, building up a very good partnership with Tomas Kalas, who we'll be talking about in a little bit. But I want to go back to you. Let's now transition. Let's talk about Ford Aite. This is a player that I actually, when the signing was coming down, I read some interesting articles coming from France that told us some good things, that he was potentially a Premier League player on that level. So we talked about it when we signed him. Now that you've seen him play, what are your thoughts on Ford Aite?
Yeah, there were, wasn't there? There was a lot of good reports, and I think there was a couple of YouTube stuff. But, you know, me and Dave will have a bit of banter over, you know, him never wanting to actually, you know, make a prediction on a player or anything like that. But when I first saw him play in a friendly against Brighton, I saw enough to think, you know, he's going to be an interesting acquisition. And, you know, he played on the right and the left. He seems predominantly right-footed, but likes to be on the left. And maybe not quite Louis Botha, Malta style, you know, not that direct, a bit tricksy. And I don't think we've seen anything major that he can offer. Yeah, I think there's a lot more for him to show. And the only worry is he got injured, and we haven't actually heard what that injury is, or I may have missed it. But the good thing is he can play right, left, and, you know, he's quite a tricky player. And, been, again, very pleased with him. Another decent signing, unknown to vast majority of fans, and again, didn't break the bank for him. You know, that's what this, all the purchases that we've made really have been steady purchases, you know, 1-2 million up until recently, you know, so we've given ourselves a good base. But yeah, no, he's an exciting, potentially exciting player.
Okay, very good there, Mike. I just want to mention this before I go to David. Someone just tweeted to me, Jono Russell just tweeted this out to me, so I want to share this with you. Here's Jono's tweet. Pat Murphy on BBC Live says, Chris Martin, the Fulham is all but done, season-long loan, and he is saying with $9 million option for Fulham, so $9 million option. So, again, I heard six, could be nine. I'm not, you know, again, this is all speculation, you know, hearing from different sources. But I just want to share what someone just tweeted out to me. David, over to you. Thoughts on Ford Aite from when we signed him to now you have seen him play and you like to actually view with your own eyes. Thoughts on Ford Aite now?
Well, I've been impressed with him so far as well. I think, you know, the thing that actually impressed me the most was not what he added to the team in terms of attacking prowess, because he does. He runs at players, and I think he's a bit more focused in his running than Aluku is. Aluku kind of runs a little bit in blind alleys at times, but I think Aiti is a bit more measured in the way he runs and where he runs. But the biggest thing that impressed me was in that first game, that Newcastle game, how well he got back and supported the left back, you know, which was in that case was Malone, of course, wasn't it? So, you know, we see this a lot with players. You know, with flair players who play on the left. You know, our friend Kakanicic, of course, who was, you know, we wanted him to play on the left, but he didn't offer a lot support-wise to the left back. And I think that's also, that's part of the issue we've had, isn't it, with, you know, over the years, with not supporting the full-backs, the wide midfielders not doing it, pulling their weight, too much pressure on the full-backs, too many crosses being conceded. But, you know, I thought for someone who is an attacking flair player, his work rate was excellent. So that was really what I was pleased to see. Obviously, very disappointed to see him injured. But I think there's a lot more to see from him yet that we haven't really seen yet.
Okay, very good there, David. I'm very high on Ford Aite. Let's now talk about another player. I'm going to go right back to you. Sone Aluko came to Fulham on a free, played at Hull City last season. Just thoughts on him coming to Fulham, and now that you've seen him live, thoughts on the player now?
Well, again, I did have an open mind to him because I didn't actually really know what to expect from him, whether he was coming to us as a forward, was a sort of a wide player, or what really. But again, his work rate and ethic is fantastic. I think what he lacks in maybe in ability or technical ability or brilliance, he does make up for in his effort. He seems to be good on both feet. You know, he even gets up for someone pretty small. He gets up, obviously scored a rare headed goal for him, I think. But, you know, he's obviously keen to impress and relishing in the fact that he's getting some game time. I just, you know, I think for him personally, I would like to see him, you know, a little bit more measured in his approach, rather than just putting his head down and run, perhaps looking at the options more. But still, nevertheless, you know, you put in your head and you run into the corners, you take players with you. If you can get the ball away, it gives other people opportunity to create space for others. And that's what we need, people running into space, creating space for others. I was very impressed when he, you know, switched to the left and put in a great cross for Matt Smith. And, yeah, I think for a freebie, obviously, you know, what can you can't really complain about that. I do fear that maybe if all these new signings come into fruition and do well, that he actually could be one of those who's in danger of becoming a bench player. But we'll wait and see anyway.
So overall, David, pleasantly surprised would be a good word, you know, good words to describe Sone Aluko so far for you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect, but I've been pleasantly surprised. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, very good, my friend. Mike, over to you. I got to be honest with you. I'd heard a lot of talk before he signed with Fulham. Many teams were in on him, and I remember him at Hull City, and I thought he would be a decent acquisition. I think he's been better than I thought he was going to be. So I'm curious what you thought initially when we got Sone Aluko, and how you feel about him now.
Yeah, I remember when there was speculation he signed, it was a very mixed response, as it has been with a lot of the players, to be fair. But I was expecting probably more of a striker. I still consider him a striker. I know there's a bit of an argument, you know, whether he's a striker, midfielder, winger, whatever. But then when I saw him in the, again, I'll go back to the pre-season friendly, and he was playing, you know, off the main man. And I said after the game, you know, he's probably going to be a player who I can see. He actually made that pass for Sessegnon's goal in the friendly against Brighton. And I felt he'd probably get more assists and goals, and I'd say it's sort of looking that way at the moment. And you know, there was an interview with him where he said, you know, that Jokanović had told him what position he was going to play, and of course that's transpired that it's that number 10 role or behind the striker, which we all thought Russ would be, but then Ross, I mean, first mistake of the night. And you know, read the interview about you know, Ross McCormick, and when, you know, first day of training, tells Jokanović, you know, he wants to go. And so Aluku's gone in, playing in that role, and, you know, he's not the flair player, he's not canny, but he's got some good skill. There's one particular thing he does, you know, from a standing start, you know, being very still, he can suddenly get a few yards away from the player with the ball, and, you know, he's already shown he can find the back of the net and create goals. So, yeah, as like David said, pleasantly surprised. He has got an injury history, so the question is how long he can keep going without, you know, that arriving. And, yeah, with the other players, you know, what's his position going to be? But I think Jokanović probably likes his you know, ability, again, to adapt, to play right, to play left. Even the, I could see him playing, you know, right up front. And, you know, hopefully he's going to stay fit, and we're going to see a lot of him. But that one thing he's very good at is his social media on Twitter. He's very pro the club and the players, and interacts a lot. So, you know, he certainly won a lot of fans over that way. So, yeah, I'm very happy with him. He seems like a really nice lad, and, yeah, couldn't be happy for a, you know, for a free transfer, and lots of people moan about him. I think he's again shown to, you know, that there are bargains out there that you can go and find.
Right, and Mike, I'm going to go right back to you, because there's something that you said to me when he signed that has stuck out now. We were talking about him being a goal scorer and how it, you know, it could be a little sporadic. He's going to score his goals. But there's one thing that I noticed, and you said this back then, you thought he would get a good amount of assists, Mike. I can see that happening. And I think that, you know, again, him being a versatile player, but I think something underrated about him is basically getting his other teammates involved and the assist that he might be able to give Fulham.
Yeah, I mean, watch the Cairney goal from the weekend, and watch him jump around when that ball goes in the net. I mean, I think he is, you know, he's almost like the team mascot at the moment for me, the way he reacts to everything that's going on. So, so yeah, I mean, that's what I saw in the first game. You know, he has that ability. He's got a decent pass on him. You know, it's not a 30, 40-yard Hollywood pass. It's a little through ball onto someone running. So he's got decent vision. And, yeah, it's... he will, you know, he'll pick up 8 to 10 goals, I reckon, over the season, but just as many assists, I reckon.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, right back to you. Let's talk about a center back that I think has worked out very well. This one really flew underneath the radar. I had heard nothing, basically nothing, linking Fulham to this player. I think I saw one thing maybe a month before it actually happened, but it was more in passing. It was very little speculation on this player coming to Fulham on loan, and this is Tomas Kalla, center back from the other club in Fulham, as David does not want me to mention the other club in Fulham, so I'll just call them that. So thoughts initially when we got this guy on loan, and thoughts about him right now?
Well, again, you know, we'll moan, we never see us linked with players and that kind of thing, and we could probably go through this list of 12, and there'd be maybe 3-4 of them whose name was never mentioned until the actual day they signed. Some people might have got a sniff that he was having a medical or something. And that's what we seem to do. You know, or that just proves that all this speculation, that's what it is. It's just speculation and guesswork a lot of the time. While we go about and do quite a bit of our business undercover, and then suddenly we announce this lad who played a lot of games last year for Borough, at right back and centre back. And for me, he's the unsung signing, because he's just a loan, but I've been very impressed with him. Very strong. Him and Maddow got a good understanding. They're not the tallest centre backs. He's a very good footballer, and he gives you an option at right back. And I wouldn't make a change in the centre back position at the moment. I think those two have the position. Sergensen's got to win it off them. But as a loan, again, another decent young player and hungry player. And, you know, who knows what could happen next summer if we do well. But at the moment, for me, the unsung signing of the summer.
I totally agree with you, Mike. Again, when this happened, this really flew underneath the radar. It just happened. I love how Fulham sometimes just make signings that just happen. This is one of them. And, David, I want to go to you because, like we always talk about, you like to judge what you see. So when you heard about the signing, you probably had some thoughts. But now that you've seen him, now you've seen the partnership with Kalas and also Mattel, thoughts on Tomas Kalas right now?
Well, I just have to correct Mike on something. Mike said he was a hungry player. In fact, he's from the Czech Republic. But obviously, apart from that, sorry, Mike. No, I've been very impressed as well. Yeah, I mean, again, this was under the radar because that was a big question that we had. You know, we knew that Kalas was Maddo was coming, I think. But the big question was who's going to play alongside him. Was there going to be a renaissance for Ream or Stearman? Or, you know, I think we all on the show, really, the regulars on the show, we said that they're not good enough. We expected to see someone else come in. But I don't think we expected to see, you know, the first sort of main one to come in to play alongside him to be a loan signing. And then, but we obviously had experience, practical experience with this guy because he's played in this division for Middlesbrough last year and you know, was very well thought of as far as I could, you know, could tell. So, you know, yes, so far he's done really well. My one moan, if I had to have a moan about him, was that at the Leeds match, if he'd put his head in to win the ball, Leeds would have never scored that last-minute goal because it would have been a high foot. But because he stood back and let the guy do the overhead kick, yeah, I know it's hard putting your head in there where it hurts, but sometimes you've got to be a bit brave. And I mean, he's a young guy and probably much better looking than any of us on the show, so I can understand him not wanting to get booed in the face. But as Mike said, you know, we've got the new guy coming in and we expected maybe to see him. But, you know, it's a very difficult situation to disrupt a centre-back pairing that has started off so well, really. And you know, almost overnight we seem to have cured our ills in that respect. So you would be absolutely, you know, dicing with death a fool to sort of start tinkering with that lineup now. So the only problem is we only have him for this year as far as we know. I assume the other club in Fulham are not looking to get rid of him. They have about a squad of about 80 players, of which 60 are out on loan permanently, I think. And he'll probably go back to that in the row to go out somewhere else on loan until he picks up his pension, I think. But really good so far. Yeah, I think him and Maddle, despite being, you know, of a similar height, do actually complement each other pretty well. And both bring, you know, good skills and everything to the party. They've got pace. They read the game pretty well. They're useful in the air despite their supposed lack of inches, and they're both, you know, reasonable on the ground as well.
Okay, very good. Very good there, David. And listen, what's interesting about talking about these players is that you're not easily impressed. You are a tough grader. You rate these players hard, and for you to say all the things that you're saying so far is actually encouraging because I value both of your opinions. But with you, David, specifically, you're tough. You are really tough. So for you to have these glowing remarks so far is encouraging to me, and of course I feel the same way about Mike. But now I'm specifically talking to you. When you put it out there that you like a player, that means a great deal to me. All right, let's move on. Let's now, David, I'm going right back to you. Here's an interesting one. Again, we were linked to this player for, I want to say, a couple weeks, but we brought him in. Thoughts on right back Dennis Odoi when you first heard about it, and now that you've watched him?
Well, I was interested in this chat because there was almost, you know, this split camp between what we were going to be doing with him. Would he be actually coming in as a right back or as a left back? He was apparently a right-footed guy that had played a lot of his time actually as a left back. So, you know, straight away we're thinking, well, what's the situation here? Are we having, because we knew left back was a real situation, of course, a real issue, with literally no senior left back available. So I think everyone expected to see him come in as a left back, and of course, I suppose a slightly surprising signing was, obviously, we'll talk about in a minute, Malone, whereas, yep, of course, you know, he's come in for Richards, and then Odoi's actually started as a right back. And so, and I think, you know, he's going to obviously be judged a lot by his first game against Newcastle and that piece of skill he did. I haven't so far seen him to be an out-and-out class signing. I don't think, you know, he's quite got to the top of his game yet. There's been flashes, But I think getting forward, he could do it better. I think his delivery into the box could be better. But then, you know, his defending has been at least always adequate, if not better than that. And again, he has the pace to make up for things. So, and that's a big, you know, it's a very forgiving thing to have the pace. You know, and that's where Frederick's got away with being a right back as well, because he has the pace to make up for things. And, you know, that game last season, just for Frederick's, where he's made that fantastic sliding tackle in the box. And then, like, 10 seconds later, he's at the other end of the pitch, literally, creating a goal-scoring opportunity. And I'd like to see more of that from Odoi, because I was led to believe that he had blistering pace, but I haven't really yet seen it. I haven't seen anything in the league of what Fredericks has. So, for me, I've been pleasantly impressed with him so far. Again, I think he's been solid and he's been consistent. But I actually think, you know, as he settles in, as the team settles in, I think he could get better. And that the only question will be, will he stay there or will they move him to left back at some stage?
No, that's a good point there, David. Mike, over to you. Thoughts on Dennis Odoi?
Well, I think David's covered most of it. Yeah, you know, there was the... Wait, there he's right-footed. What's he doing playing at left-back? And, you know, you have all those kind of arguments and discussions. And as someone who's right-footed, who loves playing at left-back, quite happy to see a player do that. But, you know, from early on, he's had to go and play at right-back. And he did something, again, in that friendly at Aldershot. You know, it's just a friendly, but he showed real desire to win the ball back at one stage in the second half. And, again, I said, I think this guy's going to be a fan's favourite, and you know, anyone who does that bit of skill against Newcastle, and you know, he's virtually John Pansel Mark II, isn't he? from what we've seen, he does have that pace, but I think, you know, he's shown in the first few games that he's learning the league. It has to be a bit more defensive. And I was worried about, is he just an attacker, you know, is he one of those failed wingers? But I think he's defensively, he's actually, you've seen him improve over the number of games. And it's been really good. He's an interesting player. He's obviously a character. But he's got, you know, he's got some skill about him as well, which, you know, like I say, we've already seen. So, again, not a massive cost, but... an unknown, but has already shown his worth, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, will he go back, you know, when Fredericks is fit over the next month, will he go over to the left-back position or what? So, you know, still lots to get from him, but I've been very pleased with him, very pleased.
Okay, very good there, Mike. Okay, just to speed things up a little bit, because I have a topic that I want to talk about at the end, and hopefully we will have some breaking news in a little bit. Just going to go back and forth. You guys sharing the different players here. Just going to go back and forth just to speed things up. And, David, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to give you the honors to get your thoughts on Scott Malone. Again, we had seen so much from the Cardiff City supporters talking about how bad he was with them. I saw that so much leading up to, I guess you could say, player for player, Jazz Richards going there and Scott Malone coming here. So what were your thoughts initially when you had heard about us going after Scott Malone? And now that you've seen him, thoughts on him now?
Well, obviously, you know, from a slightly kind of cynical point of view, anything to get rid of Jazz Richards was a good deal, wasn't it? You know, we were pretty desperate to get rid of that guy. It's a shame, but, you know, it was pretty much universal condemnation for Jazz Richards, that no one really wanted him at the club, didn't feel he was up to it. Living off the back of one good performance for Wales, maybe, didn't ever recreate any form. I don't think he ever had one good game for Fulham. He had maybe a few where he was average, where he was okay. But I don't actually remember one game where you could actually say he had a fantastic game that game, or a great game. So we were glad to see the back of Jazz Richards. So anything that got him out the door was a good deal. Obviously, the price to pay was that we were apparently inheriting a guy who was equally as bad, or was equally disliked anyway. But from what I've seen so far, I think, you know, we've got the better half of the deal. Again, he could be a better passer of the ball. He could be better getting forward. But defensively, I think he's been relatively sound. And the thing that surprised me is actually, I just looked it up today. I don't know if it's right, actually, but because I know he's quite tall. And I looked it up earlier. And apparently, he's 189, which is, you know, pretty tall. which is that's somewhere in the region of about 6'2", 6'3", I think. So it's even taller than I expected. So he's, you know, pretty tall for a fullback. Fullbacks always used to be smaller and sort of quicker, where the centre backs were the big guys. But I think as a freebie or as a route to get rid of Richards, we can't really complain. Whether he stays as first choice, it remains to be seen. But I don't think he's done anything terribly wrong for us. Not particularly not in the league games. I can't think of a particular incident where I thought, you know, it's his fault he screwed up. That goal is down to him and him only. And we haven't conceded that many goals anyway. But getting forward, yeah, delivery needs to be a bit better at times. Needs to be a bit more confident, maybe taking on people down the line. But and as I say, again, pleasantly surprised. I think he will end up being more of a squad player in the long run. I'm not sure at this stage whether he will, you know, cement a permanent first choice place at left back, because not only do we have the threat of Adoy moving over there, of course we have the threat of Sessegnon trying to carve a place for himself as well.
Absolutely, David. That's a very good point about Ryan Sessegnon. All right, Mike, over to you. I want to ask you your thoughts on David Button. We got him from Brentford. I thought at the time, this is me personally, that he was going to be contending to be the starting goalkeeper. He has been the starting goalkeeper since he's been here. So what were your thoughts initially, and what are your thoughts now of goalkeeper David Button?
For me, the jury's still out on him a little bit. He's shown that he's a good goalkeeper, but he's obviously still afflicted with the long-range shooting problems that our goalkeepers have. But it's a really interesting dynamic we've got now. You know, with Bettinelli being injured, Jeanrin coming in and playing in the cup games. And Jeanrin actually, although I've always liked him, some of the fans now are seeing what he has to offer as well. And, you know, there's been a bit of a shift in people's views on Bettinelli with Button coming in. But, you know, he has the shirt in the league. He's made some good saves. And, you know, he's... him and Bettinelli very similar in certain ways, whereas Jeanrin's coming out and catching the ball. The other two guys tend to stay back a bit. The one thing that surprised me about Button is I do think his distribution is better than we were expecting. I don't think it's great, but he's also someone who doesn't muck around. He'd give it a good hoof upfield if he needs to. But, yeah, the jury's still out, I think, on whether he's much of an upgrade. So you can't argue with what he's done so far in the league.
No, you haven't, Mike. But do you think that there's a possibility that Marcus Bettinelli at some point could potentially win it from him?
Well, I think it's going to take an injury or a couple of bad performances. And the question is, who's next in line? You can't keep all three goalkeepers. So either Jeanrin or Bettinelli is going to go out, aren't they? One of them has to go out. Emergency loans, you're allowed a goalkeeper to go out if you can prove you actually need one. But it's good to have them all competing. But at the moment, Bettinelli seems a long way away from actually getting in the starting 11, because even the next cup game, who do you pick in the Bristol City game? Jeanrin's done nothing wrong in the first two.
Guys, we have some breaking news. We have some breaking news right on the Fulham Football Club Twitter page. I'm going to read that. We do have breaking news. It's about Chris Martin. I'm going to read this from the FulhamFC.com website. Loan deal for Martin. The club is delighted to confirm the signing of Chris Martin from Derby County on a season-long loan. The 27-year-old striker was born in Suffolk but is a full Scotland international. Eligible because of his father, he joined Norwich City's academy at a young age and made his debut for the first team a few months after his 18th birthday. He quickly impressed after breaking into the Canaries senior side, scoring the winner on his third appearance before netting in four consecutive championship matches. Martin scored 13 goals when he spent the 2008-2009 season on loan at Luton Town, including at Wembley as they beat Scunthorpe United 3-2 in the Football League Trophy final. He returned to Norwich the following campaign and was on target 23 times in 48 appearances as they won the League One title. Four of the loan spells with Crystal Palace, Swindon Town, and Derby followed before he joined the Rams permanently in the summer of 2013. He departed Norwich having scored 34 goals in 117 outings. In his first season as a permanent Derby County player, was a prolific one, as he found the net 25 times as they reached the championship playoff final, where a late Bobby Zamora goal condemned them to a defeat by Queen's Park Rangers. 4 days later, he was handed his Scotland debut in a 2-2 draw with Nigeria at Craven Cottage. Martin was also a regular scorer in the subsequent 2 seasons, taking his Derby County tally to 61 goals in 148 outings. He scored his first Scotland goal in qualifying in the 2016 European Championship, and he is currently with the squad ahead of their World Cup qualifier against Malta. All right, Mike, I'm going to go right to you. Thoughts on, now it's confirmed, the loan signing of Chris Martin to Fulham?
Well, we spoke about him earlier, so finally it's over the line a minute before the window shuts. Although, knowing Sarah, she's probably sat on it for about half hour just to wind us all up. But yeah, no, it's good. And I'm just about to tweet something to say about the window, and I won't repeat what I'm going to say on it. But yeah, it's good that we've got it. And I think, you know, the team is, the squad and the team is set. It looks as if only Jack Grimmer and Stearman have gone out.
Correct.
And, you know, so we've got a really good squad, and we can talk about, you know, later where we think that's going to be come January, when we can, you know, improve it even more. But, yeah, I'm very happy with the business we've done.
Okay, very good. David, it's now done. Thoughts on Chris Martin joining Fulham?
Yeah, obviously not unexpected after today's news. We've already discussed that we think that, based on how he performed for Derby and the sort of the lineup and the system that we seem to be employing so far, that it seems to be a potentially a good fit. That, you know, he does offer basically, you know, what we get from Matt Smith in the main, perhaps not quite obviously as dominant in the air, but, you know, pretty good all round play, I think. More versatile than Smith, certainly more likely to score more than Smith. And now, you know, we have that situation where hopefully we have enough players in each position, barring obviously, you know, a terrible run of injuries or suspensions or whatever else, because, you know, we need goals, and that's been my biggest concern so far, as you know, as we've shared in our chats, that I felt without additional firepower up front, to rely on midfielders to be getting, you know, the bulk of our goals would mean that sooner or later I think our season would tail off. But now we have obviously, you know, two new strikers there, of course. One we know really very little about, Chris Martin, who we do know about, who's proven himself at this level pretty well. And, you know, with of course, Matt Smith still as an option. If they really want to sort of, you know, chase a game, we have Matt Smith as well to come on and do what he does and what he's good at. Cawley for something different, though. I think, obviously, Cawley's roles, you can only imagine, would be reduced and diminished now, barring injuries. But, say, the new one as well, new chap from the other team in Fulham, interesting to see how he really fits into this all as well. Is he going to be, you know, there to play as a striker, or is he going to be cover for one of the other positions? So, yeah, I think, you know, on the basis of playing one up front, it looks to me, honestly, you know, that we now have enough players in that position. It's interesting, actually, just looking at Derby, there seems to be an awful lot of things happening with Derby. There's really quite a big turnaround of players. I've been watching a few sort of the deals going through, and there's, you know, Codger's gone from Bristol City up to Middlesbrough. Hendrick's gone from Derby up to Burnley. There's been some, you know, been big moves, big money moves from in our division as well. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how Derby, if Derby can have another season of disappointment, really. Sort of, you know, it's a big gamble, as we found out, making big changes to your playing squad. But then we've done it every year for the last couple of years. You know, we've had a whole new team almost every year, and it hasn't worked for us until now. Maybe we've got the right, you know, the right piece of jigsaw, and hopefully Chris Martin is the final piece that we need, at least for now. Obviously, as Mike said, the you know, free transfers, or sorry, not free transfers, the contractless players can join at any time anyway. And of course, there's the emergency loan window, as they call it, which is, it must be the most misnamed thing you can ever think of, really, you know, the emergency loan window, because how many players actually sign as an emergency? You know, like QPR signed about 40 players under emergency loan window, I'm sure, before. I mean, they really, you know, they've got to think of a better name for that. But we have, whatever you want to call that, we have that, of course, as well, coming up.
No, we don't,
so our
though.
Business isn't necessarily...
No, no, David, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, no, there is no emergency loan window.
There isn't, David.
What happened to it? Has someone stolen it?
Yeah.
There is no more emergency loan, David. There is none. They got rid of it.
Oh, so someone's listened to me and said that it's ridiculous calling it emergency loan window. They got rid of it, have they?
They just did it.
Boy.
They made the decision.
Okay.
So what
okay.
happens
and
now? So that's what you were was that, that was you, what you
no,
were alluding to earlier, Mike, was it that basically in the case of a goalkeeper crisis, they would make an exception, but otherwise...
Correct.
But otherwise of now, that's it. Nothing happens between now and the 1st of January, bar, of course, any people who are completely out of contract, you are free to join at any time anyway.
Yeah, correct.
That's it. That's it, yeah.
Oh, I've learned something tonight. There you go.
See, David, we do the show and you actually learn something. That's what, it's educational for you, David. I'm very happy that you learned something tonight. But, Mike, I want to go back to you because I'm hearing all kinds of different things. Initially, I got from a source that said the option to buy was £6 million. I'm seeing all different types of things now. I'm seeing other things as well. So I'm not sure exactly what the option to buy is, and I think we'll worry about that when we get there. But overall, it's more important to bring the player in. He's on loan. He's our player for the year. Let's worry about buying him later on in the year. Would you agree with that? It's more important to get him in.
Yeah, that was it. It was, he's a proven goal. I've just had somebody say we're lacking a proven goal scorer. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean,
not anymore.
He's shown that over the last 3 years. It was get him in by hook or by crook. And if it has to be a loan deal, then so be it. And I do think it's a paperwork issue. It's just,
right.
It's an easier option for everyone. And, the main thing is he's here. And, we can get on with things. And, it's been a great window. I mean, you know, that's what I'm reading as Twitter flies by on my time thing. Everyone's really happy. I don't, you could say... we haven't spent X amount on certain players, or we could have gone for, we've sold Ross, and what have we done with the money? Well, I mean, just add up those signings and, exactly what we said all summer, Russ, when I was saying, we need to sell him, it's sell him for 12, buy 3 or 4 players at 3 or 4 million, and that's what they've gone and done with that money. And, 2.5 million for a loan fee, that's part of that money as well. So it's been an excellent window. And for
it
all
has,
the criticism the club gets. Yeah.
It has been, Mike. And again, I just want to clarify, because at the beginning of the show, we were talking about Chris Martin, and I had heard from a source that there was an option to buy for £6 million. But then later on, I saw this tweet from Jonah Russell saying, Pat Murphy says Chris Martin to Fulham is all but done. This is about an hour ago. And he was here, and this is from Pat Murphy on BBC Live, BBC Five Live, the season-long loan with a £9 million option. So who knows? I guess we'll find out at another time. But the most important thing, guys, is to get the player in. And David, back to you, because I think we need to move this along, because I want to end the show, obviously talking about the whole window together, but also talk about the transfer policy. So let's get this thing going. So I want to go to you, and I want to get your thoughts of a player that I think has been my favorite signing, and that's Kevin McDonald. Quickly, just share with me your thoughts on central midfielder Kevin McDonald joining Fulham from Wolves.
Well, I know that he's, against us again last season. I think he had a great game. I think he's done pretty well. My question, and I think Mike tends to agree with me on this one, is that we've seen a certain similarity in the way he plays, I think, with Scott Parker. Obviously, they are there as those kind of two deeper-lying central midfielders, and that's their role. But I do wonder if, in the long term, and obviously long term doesn't really count when you talk about Scott Parker, I guess, or we assume not, but whether they are a little bit too similar. whether one of them needs to be a bit more of an enforcer or not. But in terms of what he does, you know, he's someone who likes to be on the ball a lot. He likes to pick up the ball deep. He likes to distribute it around. What he doesn't have, whereas some of them do have, though, is he doesn't really have this pace. And I haven't yet seen an incisive passing. He's been, you know, he's doing the stuff that, you know, Jamie O'Hara did last year. He's buzzing it around, he's picking it up, short passes, back again. Just trying to wear the opposition down, really. What we need to see is incisiveness as well. Whether he's going to offer that to us or not, I don't know. But it's early days, you know. These guys are finding their feet still. Scored a cracking goal to rescue a point against Cardiff. Hit it nice and straight and true. I don't think I've seen anything particularly negative about him. There was a couple of misplaced passes against Cardiff, but nothing too serious. I think he's probably one of those players that is one of those ones who actually you appreciate him. You know, if he's not in the team, you start to miss him. I think he's someone who goes about the business really quietly. You know, maybe he's going to be, in the long term, a Danny Murphy-esque figure, someone who came to the club who's, you know, people are unsure about or weren't sure of what he brings to the party, but, you know, could ultimately turn out to be, you know, one of the best signings. I mean, it's a linchpin playing central midfield. He has a very important role to play in the team. You know, he needs his stability and his solidity to allow other players to be more adventurous, I think. But again, you know, I wouldn't say he was my favourite of the new signings so far. I'm not sure if I have an absolute favourite, but I don't think it would be him if I did pick one. But I can't be anything. I can't say anything too negative about him, to be honest, at the moment. I've been happy what I've seen, and I know Briefcase Ben is listening. So if I say anything negative, I'll only get more abuse on Twitter anyway.
Oh, he's watching you, David. He's listening. He's listening intently.
I know.
To everything you have to say right now. It's crazy. He's been active on Twitter, just tweeting about you, my friend. All right, Mike,
I've seen it all. That's why, you know, I've seen it.
I'm sure you have. All right. Let's talk about the last four signings together, Mike. I just want to get your thoughts on them, and then we'll have 15 minutes to talk about the transfer policy and then your overall thoughts on the window. So just give me a couple sentences on Josabed. I probably said that wrong, as always. Ragnar Sigurdsson, Niskanen Cabano, and Stefan Johansson. And all four players are still fairly new. So let's just talk about where you think their roles will be.
Okay, well, Josabed, who we saw in the cup game, he worked hard. I can see that he's got something about him. It's going to be interesting again to see where he fits in. I think he's one of those who's going to take a little while to adapt playing in the Championship, but potentially a very serious player for us, I think. Sigurdsson, you know, we saw him in the Euros. Is he the Hanglund replacement we've been looking for? The question marks I've got is, you know, where's he going to play? Who's he going to replace? But also he gives us an option for three at the back. Cabano, I watched the Blackburn highlight, or the Blackburn game, actually. God, that was a long 94 minutes, wasn't it? But he's exciting, isn't he? He's a live wire, and, you know, apparently he's faster than Fredericks, and he certainly showed some glimpses of that the other day. And Johansson, saw him a couple of times on TV for Celtic when I was really bored and I wanted to watch some kind of football, and Scottish Premier was on. But, you know, had a really good first season player of the year. You know, him and McDonald, are they going to play together? Are they going to rotate? Lots of options. That's what I'm coming back from these 14 players who have come in now. You know, it's options for Jokanović. I think gone are the days when we're going to be able to say that's the 11. You know, it's a case of, you know, we've got 20, 22 players, and any number of them can line up. And that ranges from 16-year-olds all the way up to the 49-year-old who's Scott Parker.
No, very good, Mike. And going right back to you before we talk about the article from The Telegraph by Sam Wallace, because I definitely want to talk about that to end the show, and then obviously talk about your overall thoughts on the window. Matchups. I see now competition at so many different positions that this gives Slavisa an opportunity to match up against the opponent to play certain players and possibly certain formations, because he now has options.
No, there's going to be loads of competition, isn't there? And I think, you know, when a team's doing well, it is the best time to have those kind of things. There's going to be no one hiding. You're going to want to keep your place. But also, it's a, you know, keeping them match fit, keeping them fresh. Our game seems to be now all about counter-attack, quick passing, lots of energy. And over 46 games, you know, there's some players there who, if we get 25, 30 games out of them, that's going to be a good return. And so other guys are going to have to come in and, you know, make up for them when they're not, you know, when they're missing. So, and given our cup runs that we're obviously going to have as well. So yeah, I mean, it's lots of options. And, international break, who wants that? I wish there was a game coming up this weekend.
I'm right there with you, Mike. I'm all excited now. All right. Listen, it's now time for us to talk a little bit about the transfer policy with Fulham. I wanted to do this on the last show, but we really didn't have time. I want to spend about 5 or 10 minutes talking about this, and it's really going to be about the article from Sam Wallace. Sam Wallace has had a few articles about Craig Klein, and this one was from last week. It's entitled, Why Data Analyst Craig Klein Will Have Final Say at Fulham and Not Manager Slavisa Jokanovic. And I'm going to read an excerpt from it, Mike, and I want to get your thoughts on it, and then just share with me what you thought about the excerpt, but also overall about where Sam Wallace was going with his article. Here's the excerpt, and this is about Craig Klein. Quote, Klein is the architect at Fulham of what he calls the both boxes check system, which is intended to give equal weight to traditional scouting methods and Klein's own brand of statistical analysis. Without a positive score in both categories, a player will not be signed, and that means, at the very least, that he has equal authority on signings with Jokanovic and the club's chief football officer, Mike Rigg. The thinking behind the scheme is that there should be consensus between the analytic department and the manager. Neither side should lay claim to the final say, but instead, by a process of elimination, they alight upon a player who checks both boxes, judging by Jokanovic's reaction last Saturday evening. Again, this article's a week old. They are a long way from the utopia of agreement. And again, this is from the article from Sam Wallace that basically started a little bit of furor on social media. So, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on the both boxes check system and also the article overall from Sam Wallace.
Okay, well, this is a long-running story, really, isn't it, from January or even earlier, you know, when we heard that Tony Khan, you know, because of his stats-based NFL stuff, was bringing that to Fulham. And, you know, there is a fear of this kind of process in football. But the Sam Wallace article is the second one he's written. I think he did the January one about Klein being sent home. This all follows Jokanovic as well and his comments at after the Cardiff game. And so, you know, we're all fearing. Well, we weren't all fearing. You know, there were some people out there, including journalists, saying, oh, Jokanovic is going to walk and, you know, he's worried about this. And then you've got Jokanovic sources saying, no, he isn't. What are you on about? But I thought Sam Wallace's article was obviously, you know, briefed by someone at the club. God, you know, no idea who, but, you know, they laid it out, the reasons behind it. And once you read that article, if you step back, just look at it as a whole, it completely makes sense. We've had managers in the past who've had total control, Mr. Joel for one, who, you know, filled the team with a bunch of oldies and then, you know, got himself the sack for being rubbish. And so the whole idea of a director of football, Mike Rigg, is to come in and give us some stability, stop a manager having total control. They may have, you know, messed it up last summer or maybe the last two summers with McGaff, etc. And, you know, they come to this where I think if Jokanovic says, I want this player, the scouts reports comes back, then the stats report comes back, and if both boxes tick, then they go to the next stage. Just as it sounds, as if the stats guy comes up with something, they then look at the scouts reports. Again, if boxes are ticked and the manager wants them, then we go ahead with that. I think, you know, I was told that all the players that Jokanovic has had, you know, we have signed this summer, he's agreed to. And so I think the fear that fans have is, One, the Jokanovic is not getting the players he wants, and there's quite a possibility that he isn't if one of the boxes isn't getting ticked. But secondly, you know, he does have, even if both boxes are ticked, he's almost having the final say in the player going, yeah, I want him. And that's good enough for me. You know, if there is a safety valve stopping us wasting money or buying players who just are not worth it, then I'm all for that. Because I look at the bigger picture, the longevity of the club, and not short-termism. So I'm all for it. It probably needs tweaking. The person who runs the stats side probably needs, you know, to be spoken to, and, you know, on how he interacts with members of staff. But, you know, for me, I don't have an issue with it. I think long gone are the days when a manager runs a club. You know, we have a head coach, and we have to get used to that.
No, listen, it's a very good take there, Mike. Before I go to David, I'm just going to go right back to you, because I mentioned to you that we both read the article last week by Andy Glockner called The Thoughts on the Great Fulham Analytics War of 2016. I'm not going to read from Andy's article, but there's one word that Andy brought up in his article that stands out to me. I want to go back to you about this because, you know, I'm paraphrasing from Andy's article, but he does mention this. He's talking about that he believes Fulham are trying to avoid busts because there have been busts over the year. And when you have this system, it could not eliminate it, but it could lessen it. Do you understand where Andy was going with that, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I felt a bit sorry for Stearman because he was mentioned in the Telegraph article, and you know, whatever you think of him personally, I don't think you should be naming players on what's caused this issue. But, you know, there's clearly something somewhere went wrong last summer, wasn't it? You know, I mean, it was too many championship players, too many average players. And, you know, we're very happy with the 14 or is it 13, 14 players who have come in this summer. And they are a step up from what we've had. And if the stats guys and Jokanovic and the scouts all together, if that's what they've produced, then that's going to stop us, you know, making mistakes, hopefully, that we've done in the past. It's not going to be 100% proof. We are going to make errors, but if it can reduce it, then that's got to be better for the club in the long term.
Right, and that's what I've taken out of both of these articles. That's why I wanted to mention just briefly Andy's article, because he talks about, again, it's his opinion, that they're trying to lessen the amount of busts that Fulham have. And if you have the, you know, I'm thinking, if you have the opportunity to do that, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try to better yourself? This goes back to Richard Allen's article where he says, why wouldn't you try to better yourself if you had the opportunity? David, your thoughts on this?
Well, it's been a very emotive issue, hasn't it? I mean, an article sort of, I think almost deliberately to stir things up a little bit, and then Slavisa's comments, of course, where we have some guy who's been described as, you know, a geek, a buddy of Tony Khan, someone who knows absolutely nothing about football apart from, you know, he's basically playing a computer game like Football Manager or FIFA or something, and that, you know, and the outrage that this guy has, you know, created by having this ultimate veto on anything any player that we want to sign. And apparently there's players that we've identified and Slavisa's wanted, and, you know, the computer says no, that's it, we don't sign them. And it sounds to me to be a very,
yeah, but,
very
but
dangerous.
Can I just come back on that? Can I just come
sure,
back
go
on
ahead,
that?
Mike.
It's not, yeah. The idea of the system, and if you read the article, is it goes both ways. So even if he throws up someone, if the scouts say no, then that box doesn't get ticked. So his players don't come through. So it's not just one person. The whole idea is that both have to agree. And if,
right,
you know, if the scouts and Jokanovic want a player and the stats says no, then he doesn't get through. But likewise, if the stats guy says I want him, but the scout says no and Jokanovic says no, then that's the whole idea. It stops these players coming through who are potentially not right.
No, look, you just jumped in slightly, Mike. I was coming to that, actually, because I was describing the outrage that with the apparent story and the build-up to this, that, in fact, Klein had the ultimate veto. That's what you know, was going around, and everyone was very concerned, and I think rightly concerned by that, if this guy had the ultimate veto in that scenario. But what you're saying is absolutely right, Mike. I mean, and I think we've all embraced it along the way and said that we need to use modern methods, you know, in the game, and to make use of any tool that's available, any analytical tool that's available, as part of a bigger picture. Not one system should be used, obviously, for identifying players. And, you know, I think that's great that if, you know, both parts have to agree.
Exactly.
You find a player you like, but the stats are rubbish, or the stats find a player, but the coaches don't like them, then you don't go for them. And I think we're all probably behind that. If both agree, then you'd like to think that the likelihood is we've actually found someone who could be a real gem, that not only do the coaches think it's a fit for football, the computer says yes. And, you know, if you've ever watched Little Britain and the computer says no, the computer never says yes. But if the computer says yes, Russ, then, you know, I think we're pretty much on a good thing. So, you know, say my first point was there was a lot of horror and a lot of outrage about what apparently was happening. But when you look at the two-tick box system, yeah, I think we can all, like, embrace that and live with that if that's the way it works.
Okay, very good there, David. Very, very interesting take. And I'm sorry, guys, we don't have that much time. I wish we had a little bit more time to get into this. But I'm with both of you. I like the fact that both sides have to agree. If both sides agree, then we have a deal. I actually like that. I think it helps out the overall process if both sides agree. So, okay, guys, we only have a little over 3 minutes left. So what I want from both of you guys is to give an overall rating for the window, and I'm going to ask the question to you, and I want your answer. Does this window give us the talent and the potential to be a top 16? So I'm going to ask you that. So, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Give an overall rating from 1 to 10 for this window, and could Fulham be a top 16 with this talent?
Yes, it can be. And, it's certainly, we've started well, and it's given us a bit of a breathing space, but I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be competing top 8. And if we, you know, with a bit of luck, we can be in that top 6 consistently. But for me, it's get to January, be in the top 8, and I'll be very, very happy. Anything better than top 8, that will be really good. So, I don't see why not. There's no, you know, yes, you've got Newcastle spending lots of money and Villa as well. But apart from that, I think the rest of us are all pretty much the same. But I've got faith in Jokanović that he can produce a team that's going to get results. So, confident, but let's review in January.
Okay, fantastic. From 1 to 10, rating, the overall window?
I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8. Okay, David, we only have a little over 90 seconds left. So give a rating, 1 to 10, and do you think that we have the talent to be in the top 6 or maybe a little bit beyond that?
I would have said no without the signing of the strikers, because I think that we are lacking in goals. But now we have the strikers, yes, we do have the possibility. Especially, I think, as we've probably started better than we would have hoped for. So, you know, it's been a good start. It's a long, long way to go. But if we can carry on like this, and if the players do fit in as, you know, seem to be doing so far, yes, we do have the ability to stay where we are in the table in that top 6. You know, and on the basis of that, I think my only complaint about the window is the timing, that you always want to do the business early and get going, and ultimately things always end up taking longer than you want them to do. So, you know, like Mike, I probably would have given it a 9 out of 10, actually, but just because it rankles slightly with me, the timing of it, so I'll give it an 8 as well.
Okay, very good. Guys, I just want to mention, someone just sent me an article from the Derby County website. It's just to clarify, it just says this. Derby will receive a substantial loan fee, and Fulham have the option to buy the player. It says it on the Derby County website. Just want to mention that for others that have been wondering why Fulham have not announced it. It's actually on the Derby County website. But, guys, it's time to go. For Mike Gregg and David Holly, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys. Have a great night. Wonderful show.
Cheers, Russ. Cheers, Dave.
Good night, Russ. Good night, Mike. Thanks very much.
Come down.